All right, praise God. We're back up and running. But the reason I like to keep a battery going in here is we do that broadcasting over the internet thing. And we have folks that listen in California. We got folks that listen in Korea. We got folks that listen in Germany. We got folks that listen all over America. And so, praise God. Anyhow, here we are with Paul and where he's at. He's coming in to Thessalonica. And his manner, what he did all the time, his regular stuff, is he went and he preached to the Hebrew people, explaining how Jesus was indeed the Christ. He, verse 3, it says, he opened and, I can't say that word, all Aegean.
Alleging.
Thank you. See, I wouldn't have spelled it that way. Alleging that Christ must indeed suffer and be risen from the dead. And that this Jesus, whom I preached to you, is indeed the Christ. Now, imagine if you were a Hebrew, right? You had heard the law of Moses your whole life, and you got to sacrifice, you got to do the Ten Commandments, you got to follow the other 600 plus commandments that went along with the law. And then you, all of a sudden, you hear this Jesus came and he fulfilled the law. And through his blood is a new covenant, because the old covenant that took the blood of sheep and goats and bulls and all that kind of stuff wasn't good enough to cleanse you from your sin. But this one that came from God, this perfect Lamb of God, came, lived a perfect life, never broke the law, and died a sinless death, all right, to cover you for your sin. That's what the Christ was supposed to do. The Messiah was supposed to do. And if you knew the Old Testament scriptures like Saul did, or Paul did, he would be able to explain that in ways that they could understand. And so it says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and chief women, and not a few. But the Jews who believed not. Now, catch, who didn't believe? The Hebrew folks. Now, why didn't the Hebrews believe? Because when you start messing with my religion and start teaching me about a relationship, it messes up everything I ever wanted to know. I know a lot of folks who are caught up in their religion and have no relationship with God. You know some folks like that? I tell you, they are extremely religious. Man, they get up, they do this, they jump through all the hoops they're supposed to jump through, but they don't have a real deep relationship with the Father. What a shame. Because they read the same Bible we do. And as you know, because Paul, he was taking the same scripture that the Hebrews knew, and he was explaining that this Jesus was indeed the Messiah. He was the Christ. And look at all the things that he fulfilled while he was here. But a lot of the Hebrews did not believe. But remember what they said just before they crucified the Christ. They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And God hardened their hearts, and he blinded them so that they could not see. So to have a Hebrew come to the Lord is kind of like finding hen's teeth. It happens, but it doesn't happen a lot. Now, remember, Paul was a Hebrew, Peter was a Hebrew, John was a Hebrew, the 12 apostles, they're all Hebrews, right? They're all Hebrews, they're all Jews. So there are some Jews that do believe, there are some Jews that did believe. But when you get into the synagogue with a lot of the Hebrew folks, they will not believe because they don't want to lose their relationship to the synagogue and not the Savior of the synagogue, right? What do they call it, them Catholics, when you get put out of the church?
Excommunicated.
They don't want to become excommunicated. And so if you preach Jesus Christ hard in a Catholic church, that you don't pray to Mary, you don't pray to Joseph, you don't pray to all those statues, you don't count your beads, there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. You tell that to the priest, he will kick you out. All right? And that's just what they do. I tried to talk to a priest a couple days ago about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And he said, yeah, Mary was a good girl. And I said, Mary had to believe and get saved too. And he did not like that. And so, but anyhow, the Jews, they believed not and were moved with envy. And they took unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort. Y'all know some lewd fellows of a baser sort? I used to be one of those. The lewd fella of a baser sort. I was kind of the bottom rung of the ladder, kind of scum of the earth kind of a guy. That's what I was before I knew the Lord. Right? So those religious folks found those people, those lewd folks of a baser sort, and they gathered a company, and set all the city into an uproar, and they assaulted the house of Jason. And Jason was where it was there's the temple, and Jason's house was right next to it, the synagogue and Jason's house. So they didn't have to go far, they just had to go next door. And they came to Jason's house and sought to bring Paul and Silas out to the people, but they found them not. And they drew Jason and certain of the brethren to the rulers of the city, and they cried, "These have turned the world upside down." Man, I wish that the church today would turn the world upside down. I really do. If the Christians would really be Christian, all right, and start preaching Jesus Christ wherever you go, whatever you do, you might make some enemies, especially of religious people. You might make some folks mad at you. But you know what? They looked at it as turning the world upside down. I like to look at it that they turned the world right side up. All right? Because the world, as I know it right now, the world pretty much is upside down. When they tell you in the state of New York, it's okay to take a baby out of the mother's womb and kill it on the table, but you can't cut the claws out of your cat's feet. You know that's a law? Here in New York, you cannot declaw your cat, or they're trying to make it a law, or it'll be a super-duper fine. But you can take a baby out of a mother's womb and murder it on the table. That's just a lump of cells, you know. Come on, we got something upside down. The world is upside down. We need somebody to turn it right side up. And the church is starting to do that if we come together and pray. He's changing hearts. He's changing hearts of the leaders of governments right now about this abortion thing. Okay, they had turned the world upside down, and are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. Excuse me, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is none other king but one Jesus. Now, remember who's telling this, all right, that the Hebrew people, now, what did God say? You're supposed to have how many gods before me? Who's supposed to be the Lord? You have no gods before the Lord. Don't say one, and the answer is zero. All right, you're supposed to have no gods before me. That's what God said. And so here the people are saying, Caesar is the king. And now you're telling me that Jesus is the king? Well, Jesus is the king. All right, he's just not... His kingdom is just not of this world, as he told Pontius Pilate, whom Jason hath received, and they're contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they had heard these things. And when they had taken surety, in other words, Jason had to pay his way out of that, that's what it means. I don't know how much it cost, but Jason had to pay because he believed in Jesus Christ. Do you think that still happens today? You need to pay something because you believe in Jesus Christ? I think we do. You know, we really do. If we truly believe in Jesus Christ, it ought to cost you something. A relationship that costs you nothing isn't a relationship at all. You know, if I really want to be a good friend to somebody, that means I got to get rid of some of my time that I spend on myself, and I got to go over there and spend time with them. You know how George, and I hate to keep using you, but you're sitting in the front row, it's your fault. You know how George, he goes to folks' houses and he visits folks and he spends time with them, and Diane, you do the same, Mike, y'all do the same. And so y'all go and you spend time at people's houses. That costs you something because you got the same 24 hours I got. Right? And so you go and you minister, and that costs. That it costs something. Well, Jason, he had to pay because he was a follower of Jesus Christ, a surety, a cause, and of the others, and then they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night to Berea, who came thither and went into the synagogues of the Jew. Okay, so they go to another town, and what does he do first? He goes right back to the synagogue. Paul and Silas, first thing they do, they went over here and they caused trouble in this town. All right. They got in trouble. And do you see this in a pattern? Do you see that in a pattern in the book of Acts? As Paul goes to a town, he goes to the synagogue, right? He teaches them about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. They get mad at him. They beat him with rods. They throw him in jail, right? And then he gets released from jail. Then he goes to another town. He teaches. He goes to the synagogue. He preaches about Jesus Christ. They get mad at him. They mistreat him. They run him out of town. And over and over and over again through the book of Acts, that's how Paul spreads the gospel of Jesus Christ. When was the last time you were run out of town because of Jesus Christ? When's the last time they looked at you and said, "I don't want you here because you believe in Jesus Christ"? Last Thanksgiving. So it ought to happen in your own home. Yeah, amen. Family. You know, that's the folks that we're closest to, you know. And if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ and your family doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, they don't like you. Or actually, they're okay with you. They don't like the God you serve. You know, if they don't believe in Jesus Christ, it makes it real hard for them to understand where you're coming from. When you say things like, there's only two genders, male and female. No, there's 10,000 genders. No, there are two genders. You're either a boy or a girl, period. Marriage belongs to one man and one woman, period. No, I think four guys ought to marry a poodle and it's okay. No, it's one man, one woman, and it ought to be for life. And that's how it should go. And if you do things like that, look at the blessings you get. I mean, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems, right, George? Right? It doesn't mean you ain't going to have problems, but I've said this before. I have the cures for every STD that's ever been come up by man. You know that? All AIDS, all syphilis, all that stuff. We can fix it in one generation. One man, one woman, for life. All right? And if you keep your stuff put in your pants, and women, you keep your legs together till you get married, and you stay that way, you don't have to worry about any of that unclean stuff. Because that's the way God planned it, and that's the way it works best. Amen? But when we get all messed up and start doing all this weird stuff, doing things outside of the confines and the directions of the Lord, that's where things get messed up. And so... So anyhow, Paul and Silas, they go and they get into the synagogue of the Jews. But these were more noble than the ones of Thessalonica. All right, now catch this out. This is the first good one that he comes to. I knew this. It's in my notes. I was running off my head. They were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things be true. All right. You ever hear the Berean call? You know? The Berean call? And they were in the area of Macedonia, so it's the Macedonian call. But the Bereans were a special group of people. Because Paul would come up and he'd say, "This is Jesus Christ. This is Jesus. He is the Christ. This is what was foretold about the Christ, what he would do, and this is what Jesus did." And the Bereans said, "You know, I don't know if that's true. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get my Bible. I'm going to get my Bible, I'm going to read it out, I'm going to study it through. I'm going to find out if that's indeed what Jesus was supposed to do. And then I'm going to look around, I'm going to find somebody who actually saw Jesus raised from the dead, who saw him there, you know." Because we know in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said at that time that there are over 500 souls that had seen Jesus raised from the dead, and the majority of them were alive at that time. So when he's here in Thessalonica or in Berea, they could have went over to Jerusalem, and he stopped over at Tony's house and said, "Hey, Tony, I heard, you know, that you saw Jesus raised from the dead. Is that true?" And Tony said, "You betcha. He sure did. He came in. We were sitting there with the apostles. He came. We broke bread together. Man, and he said, here, I was there when old doubting Thomas stuck his hand into his side, just like he said he would, touch the wounds on his wrist." You know, and so there's those people that were there. So these Bereans, they were a little bit more noble than the folks from Thessalonica, that town, because they searched the scriptures daily whether these things be so. "Therefore, many of them believed also of the honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not just a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had known that the word of God was preached by Paul and Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." Well, I tell you what. Anytime you start preaching the gospel, somebody's going to come and stir up the folks. You know? We are witnesses, right, George? We're witnesses. Amen. As soon as you mention the name Jesus, you can talk about Buddha till you're blue in the face. You can talk about Muhammad, ain't going to hurt nobody's feelings. But you mention the name Jesus, then fighting words. Amen. Especially for those who don't know who he is, or they have a different concept of who he's supposed to be. But the God of the Bible is the God of the cross. And that God of the cross died on that cross and then came back to life 3 days later to prove that he was indeed the God of the Bible. Amen. He was tempted in all ways and yet without sin. What a glorious Savior we got. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for your old wretched self. You know, your old bag of bones. Jesus loves you. He loves every bit about you. And so, and immediately the brethren, after they came to stir up the people, immediately the brethren sent Paul, sent away Paul to the sea, but Silas and Timothy abode there still. So here Saul and Silas and Timothy split up. Now Paul, he goes on over to Athens, and this we're about ready to get into that sermon on Mars Hill here in just a moment. And so, conducted Paul, brought him to Athens, and received a commandment to Silas and to Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, and they departed. So when Paul got to Athens, he saw that there was a mess in the city. Both of these folks was religious. They believed in all kinds of stuff. They had Zeus, right? The zoo was loose. They had Zeus. They had Athena. You know, they had Aquaman. Who was that fellow? They had all them fake gods and stuff, all them statues. They probably had a statue of Joseph and one of Mary and one of this saint and that saint. And they prayed to them all. They prayed to every one of them. But Paul saw that there's a problem. He said, listen, I need my sidekicks. Go send for George. Bring him over. Go send for Justin. We need him over here. And so they went, and those boys made a quick trip and started heading over there. And therefore, verse 17, therefore they departed, and him, the synagogue of the Jews. While Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred up, verse 16. His spirit was stirred up in him when he saw the city was given to idols. Let me ask you personally, y'all Christians here, is your soul stirred up about anything? I mean, are you fed up to here with the things that are going on in America? Are you just sick and tired of being sick and tired? You know, you got to do something, right? God wants the church to be not... We have spent too many years inside of the convenient walls and in comfortable chairs while we're seeing America go to hell in a handbasket. Right, we're seeing our politicians just the most wicked people. And it doesn't matter how you spell. You can be a Republican, you can be a Democrat. I tell you, on both sides of the aisle right there, they are as wicked as any people that ever crept up out of the pits of hell. Right? And I don't care which side of the aisle you're on, they are not following the Word of God. Now, there are a few on both sides. Now, don't get me wrong when I say it ain't all of them. But the far vast majority of them are liberal, communist. I call them demo rats. You know? So they're just in our judicial system. They're in our Congress. They're in the White House. Amen? And they're just wicked, wicked people. And so when you see that, I just got to ask you, is your spirit stirred up about it? Are you just a little bit fed up? Paul, his spirit was pulled up, but it wasn't pulled up in anger. It was pulled up in a heartbreak. Are you heartbroken about what's happening? I am. And it's not even so much what's happening in the world. What's happening in the church is what's hurting my feelings, breaking my heart. Folks who call themselves Christian, and then they're not really sold out to anything. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ. I got baptized in a tub right there, and it just ain't nothing changed in my life. All right? How many folks have we baptized? Lots. Lots of folks. Now, I ain't saying that they ain't saved, but I am looking around and saying, where are they? You know, where are they? I mean, we have baptized 100 folks, maybe a little less, but around there, I'm sure. Where are they at? They confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They said that they wanted to know more about Jesus. Remember that when I say I got Jesus in my pocket? Right? Got Jesus in my pocket. Boy, when things get bad, I'll pull him out. I'll worship that Jesus. I'll worship him until things get going good again. And then I'll put him right back in my pocket and I'll forget that he's even there until I have another bad day. And then I'll blame God for it. You know? Why is everything going wrong in my life? Well, how much are you reading your Bible? How much are you staying? So those are the things that stir my spirit anyhow.
Get Jesus out of your pocket.
Amen. Get Jesus out of your pocket. Put him in your heart. Put him in your mind. You know? Because he don't belong in your pocket. You know? And so amen. I thank you, Tony. That's right. Get him out your pocket. And Paul waited in Athens. His spirit was stirred up. And therefore he disputed. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily. With them that met with him. And certain philosophers from
Epicureans.
Wow. And the Stoics. I can read those short words. And my long words get me. Encountered him or talked to him. Why don't they just say talked to him? And some said, what will this babbler say? Some... He seeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Folks, when you preach about Jesus and the resurrection, folks think you're talking about a strange thing. You know, especially smart people. These are the smart folks. These are the professors of their time. You know, folks who said, we've been alive for a million, billion, trillion years. You know, you came from a monkey. You're a monkey's uncle. You weren't made in the image and likeness of God. You're an absolute mistake from the cosmos. Whoops! Human life started. Man. And you wonder why kids are killing themselves in school. Mm. You know, we bring them up to think that they're animals, then we're surprised that they act like it. Yeah. And they took him, all right, and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know... what this new doctrine, whereof thou speakest, is. And thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these mean. For all the Athenians, all the folks from Athens, and the strangers, which were there, spent their time in nothing else but Facebook. I had to bring it up to time, right? They spent nothing else but Facebook, but rather to tell or to hear something new. So they spend their time doing no work. Yeah, look at that, man. How much of our youth are we losing to that stupid smartphone? Amen, right? Smartphone makes stupid people. It really does, because yeah, I got grandkids, and I love my grandkids to pieces, but to get them to talk to you like this, I can text them and they'll answer. Or what's that, Snapchat?
Oh, Snapchat, yeah.
Snapchat, yeah, do something like that. You know, but come on. No. And little bitty kid, I like little bitty people, small, short people, knee-high people, and I'm a short guy and they're knee-high to me. Those kids with a $500 telephone, they ain't got no job. What do they got a phone for? They have no reason to have a phone.
Entertainment.
Yeah. Keep well, what is that? Entertainment actually makes your brain numb. It really does. Entertain, there's another word for it. I heard this a long time ago. So I can't call it to my mind right now. But it's when they take entertainment in either in the Greek or the Latin or something like that, it actually means to turn off your head. All right, you turn off your brain to be entertained. I mean, how many folks have really been entertained by something? Right, you're entertained by something. It doesn't matter, football game, whatever. But you don't think about nothing else. You're entertained. You're sitting there, slobber coming out your mouth. You know, things need to be done around the house. I can't do nothing. I'm being entertained. You know, and you look at that. That new movie that's out, 3 hours long, Captain America and all those guys. Avengers or something like that. The last episode or whatever it's called. 3 hours long. I can't get my kids to sit down. I can't get the church to sit here for more than an hour. Right? And they'll sit in a stupid movie theater for 3 hours watching the dumbest thing, sucking their brain right out of their ears. They don't even know it. Entertainment. And so, anyhow, I'm sorry. I'm standing on a soapbox tonight. But anyhow, they brought him out there talking to him about that kind of stuff. And Paul stood in the midst, verse 22, of Mars Hill. And he said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." Hey, people, I see in all these things, when you're worried about stuff that don't really matter, you're superstitious. You know, I'm so worried about this thing or that thing or the other thing. What if I do this and something happens? Well, what if you did it and what if it did happen? Yeah, what if it did? So what? Big deal. You'll go to sleep tonight, you'll wake up tomorrow. And it's not going to make 2 cents worth of difference. It really isn't. They're very superstitious. "For as I passed by and behold all the devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you.'" Wow. You know, the unknown God. There are so many folks in America that worship something that they know nothing about. Think about this. You know, "You shall have no other gods before me." How many gods are in the average American household? Think about it. And you say, "Well, I don't have no statues that I'm worshiping." All right. How about one of those big old 55-inch flat screen plasma thingies? All right. How much time do you spend on that? All right. How much time do you spend doing frivolous, stupid stuff? All right. Just things that don't matter. You know, I sit down, I watch 76 hours of, I don't know, Desperate Housewives, right? Or some stupid, stupid stuff like that. And I'm sorry, folks. But I see it in America. We are worshiping so many idols: your car, your job, your family. I would love to come to church on Sunday, but the school has baseball on Sunday, and I can't come to church because I've got to take my brat to a baseball game. Well, that's what it is. And what you're seeing here, you're seeing the tail wag the dog. Right? Those little bitty rodents in your house we call kids. Right? I was brought up in a house, right? I had a mom, I had a dad, a couple of dads. But anyhow, my job was to do whatever I was told to do. Get up and change the channel. Go outside and move the antenna. You ever move an antenna in a lightning storm? That's to let you know your parents really care. "That TV ain't coming in good, boy. Get out here and get it." You know, or run up to the store and buy me a pack of cigarettes. You know, times have changed. But you see, we have so many things that we worship in our houses that we don't even realize that anything that takes you away from God is a god to you. All right? It can be your family. It can be your dog. Now, don't get me wrong. It's good to love your family. It's good to be kind to your animals. Nothing like anything like that. But your kids should not be dictating whether you come to worship or not. All right? Yeah, that's not their place. You're supposed... Well, what does the Bible say? "Children, raise up your parents in the way they should go. And when they're old, they won't depart from it." Just live in the basement and make sure they do it. You know? We are wrong in America. There are so many things that are backwards. I had another word I was going to use, but Lord, stop me. Thank you. Jesus. And he says, "This unknown God," verse 24, "God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of the heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breathe all and all things, breath in all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men. Oh, how many nations of men are there? Now you say there's red and yellow, black and white, right? Now wait a second. How many types of human beings are there?
One.
There's one. Do you know that in our in the American Congress today, they were talking about putting down white people. That we are the scourge of the earth if you're Caucasian. Did you hear any of that nonsense today? Acio Cortez, what's her name? ACO?
AOC.
Anyhow, she lit up this thing, and that if you're a white person in America, it's my fault that everything has gone wrong in this earth. You know, and it was in Congress. They spent 6 hours, and this was just day one about that crazy stuff. Now, there is no difference between black and white. There really isn't. If you strip the skin off of everybody, they are the same, right? There ain't no difference. We all bleed red. I bleed red, white, and blue. All right? I got 3 different kinds of blood in me. I bleed American, baby. Anyhow, you can tell that I've had a long day, right? Can you tell? And so anyhow, I'm gonna hang it up right here, okay? And we'll pick up for the rest of us next week. And verse 26, we'll move forward from that because it's after 8 o'clock now. And folks, I love you. I don't know if you heard anything tonight that I know I made you giggle a couple times, but it wasn't supposed to be funny. I'm glad that it was. And so, I'm a stand-up comedian. Don't worry, I'm here for the next 20 years until the Lord calls me home. And so, church, if we'll get things right in our lives and start worshiping the one true God, start seeking His face, stop not being ashamed of the gospel. How about cleaning out some of those idols in our house? Amen? Yeah, how about, have you just sit and I want you to pray and ask the Lord about this and say, God, what do I love in this house more than you? And you're not allowed to throw out your spouse.
Okay. And you can bring it here on June 8th.
Yeah, bring it here June 8th. We'll sell it in the parking lot.
That's right.
Healthy orphans. Yeah, amen. Amen. But those things, you know, those things. Anyhow, I want you to just think about it. What in your life do you love more than the Lord? And is that something that's stopping you from being everything He wanted you to be? Because we can get sucked up into that stuff so quick, so easy. We get focused on the wrong thing. Where Jesus died for our sin, and we're thinking about something else. We're worried about other things. That's why the Bible has 360 some odd different places where He tells you not to worry. Fear not. Amen? One for every day. Fear not. Don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is small stuff. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do love You and we praise You, Lord God. We thank You for Your goodness and Your righteousness. We pray, Father, that this people group, Lord, that You called together tonight, You have spoken to, that they've heard the Spirit of God, and Lord, that they'd be desired to move and walk upright and forward with You. Lord, that You would move over us, keep us inside of Your love, keep us inside the obedience that we're called to. And Lord, we thank You and we praise You for those things in Jesus' marvelous name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all be safe.